Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Two wide receivers to the left for Wolford. Looking into the corner of the end zone. That's caught, flag thrown. Didn't matter to Rashad Ross.
Well, I don't know. This may be on the offense. Right. They may call push off here, but if not, if they don't, I tell you what, Ross is a guy that is making a name for himself right now.
Again, great execution. You see the little rub inside, back outside.
The voices on NFL Network there were our buddy Dan Helly, Maurice Jones-Drew, and Marvin Lewis, respectively. There was no push-off, just a second touchdown for the Rocket. Rashad Ross, a former Redskin, who used to tantalize you guys in August as he tried to make the Skins roster and latch on in the NFL here in the nation's capital. 100 yards and two touchdowns in his debut performance in the Alliance of American Football for the Arizona Club yesterday. And he joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Rashad, welcome back to D.C. via the radio. Grant and Danny here. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
What did you think of the first weekend of the Alliance of American Football? None of us really knew what to expect as far as the quality of play, you know, how it would all work out. What did you think watching and then playing in your first game?
I feel like it was a great atmosphere. I didn't think it was going to be a lot of fans as it was. I didn't think it was going to get a lot of views. But the ratings was kind of high, as they say. So I think it was good. I think the AAF is one of the up and coming new leagues.
Rashad, what was the process like? Meaning, you're still trying to crack NFL rosters. You're still grinding away your football career. How did it go from, hey, this is the next best step for you to thrive for this new franchise?
Well, after leaving the Redskins in 2016, at the end of the year, me just trying to catch on to a team, it was kind of hard because, you know, everybody have their politics, everybody have their favorites, and you got to really stand out. And for me, it was just the Redskins gave me an opportunity. And when I was with the Redskins, the first year I was on practice squad, the next 2 years I was playing, and that's because the preseason I had. But the preseason I had a great preseason, and I had led the NFL in yards and touchdowns both years because I actually have had a opportunity. And I feel like this league, the AAF is all about second chances and all about opportunities. And it just shows, like, you never know how good a player is until he actually gets his opportunity. He either going to fail or he either going to do great. And in my first game, I felt like I did great. I feel like I was that Rocket Ross, Rashad Ross, the Redskins that the Redskins knew in the preseason. And I feel like this time I had a whole game to show my complete skills. And my whole thing is just to just keep on adding on and getting better every week.
And a guy who at one point in time caught a long touchdown from Colt McCoy in a regular season game. In your NFL career, 9 catches, 192 yards, 3 touchdowns. Here you are now, 29 years old. Now, the Redskins, you mentioned in 2016, your last true opportunity. But you've been with the Cardinals, the Bills, the 49ers, the Lions, the Bears, the Chiefs, the Titans. As you latched on with the Arizona Hotshots of the AAF, were you thinking maybe that you'd played your last day in the NFL, or was the goal right away, if I play well here, I'll get another shot with somebody?
Yeah, when me and my agent was talking, we was talking about the CFL, the AAF. We were just trying to figure out, like, am I gonna get a call to go be on somebody practice squad or be able to get a chance? And we end up just figuring out, okay, the AAF might be the best solution for me. So my whole goal was I'm going to go to the AAF, do what I have to do here, get film, show that I still have it, and hopefully when it's over with, be in somebody's training camp. So my ultimate goal is to make it back to the NFL.
Rashad Ross is with us. A couple touchdown catches in his AAF debut this past weekend. Joins us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline on Grant and Danny. What do you think you need to do to convince the NFL general managers or the NFL at large that Rashad Ross is an NFL player?
I feel like just my talent alone from me being in the NFL, me doing what I did in the preseason and a little bit in the regular season showed that I'm talented enough to be there. I think it's more of a trust thing. He needs to be more consistent. You know what I'm saying? Just more consistent. Somebody I can count on. Since I wasn't a draft pick, since I'm an undrafted free agent, we have to do all the little things. Because, you know, draft picks and big-name players, they can do whatever because they have way more opportunity than us. Us, we got to do everything right the first time. And I just think that me being in the AAF, it will mature me more to be more consistent. So when I get another shot, I can show that I can be that person you can count on.
I was watching Rashad Ross and the rest of the participants in the Alliance of American Football. I did like the hunger. You know, you guys are playing like guys who are on your last opportunity, which I love. I think that'll work well for the league. I also liked a couple other things, though. I'm curious. You're a return man as well. You had 800 return yards in your time in the National Football League. There were no kickoffs at all over the weekend. There are no kickoffs in this league. And I always kind of thought getting rid of the kickoff in the NFL would be a mistake. But after watching the team start at the 25-yard line, I didn't miss kickoffs. I thought it was actually cool. I thought it was smart. I'm ready to do it in the NFL. What did you think of no kickoffs?
I mean, I'm a return guy, so
yeah.
It's kind of, you know, it's kind of up and down with my thoughts about that. But I'd rather have kickoff returns because it give more guys opportunity. Like, I'm all about opportunity to showcase your skills. So kickoff returns will showcase my skills. But it's a good thing that we don't have kickoffs in here because I already did it in the NFL, so I'm pretty sure they know I can do it. Now my whole thing is showing I can be that punt returner because ain't nothing like a kick returner and a punt returner. You can stick if you're a good special teams player.
What about some of the other rule differentials? Did you notice the difference between the 40 seconds between plays and the 35 from a tempo standpoint?
In a preseason game, because we had like a little preseason game that nobody really saw, in San Antonio, yes, I did. But last night, not really because we are a fast-paced offense. So it don't really matter because we're going fast. But as far as rest time, yes. Like right after you score, you don't have time to really celebrate like that. You got to get back because it's the two-point conversion and everything.
Rashad, where can this league go? What's the ceiling of this league in your mind? I mean, it's obviously just getting started. Nice debut over the weekend, as you touched on, in terms of ratings and interest. It's not competing with the NFL. It's in a different time of year where there isn't much football to watch. Where do you see this league going, you know, the rest of this year and then beyond?
The rest of this year, I feel like this league is going to, like, skyrocket. I feel like because it's a second chance. It's like a junior college. It's like a junior college of D1s. It's a junior college. So I just feel like it's going to be the junior college of – or the D-League of the NFL, where the people that's talented, that didn't have a lot of opportunity in the NFL, going to be able to showcase their skills, and the NFL going to look down at the AAF and be like, okay, maybe he is a guy that can play with us. Maybe we should go pick him up and see what he's doing in camp. You know, and I just feel like now more is going to be more people that get cut in the NFL and come back and go to the AAF, and end up going back to the NFL just because they get the showcase and they can develop. I feel like this league is more for developing players because I feel like a lot of people have talent. They just have to develop it.
Rashad Ross was with the Redskins as recently as the end of 2016, and he's in the Alliance with the Arizona Hotshots. His head coach is Rick Neuheisel. One of the big things about this league is most of the head coaches are household names.
Guys you know,
from
yeah.
college, people that have been around the block for a long, long time. A big debut weekend for the Alliance of American Football this past weekend. How about the level of competition? You had 100-yard games in the preseason. You know, we heard Bill Polian say he thought this would kind of be like NFL backups. Did you feel like this was an NFL preseason game, or what did you feel when you were on the field kind of trying to beat people off the line of scrimmage?
I honestly feel like this is better than an NFL preseason game because you have people that actually played in the NFL that bounced back. Most NFL preseason games be college players, be bodies in camps, especially at the end of the game that's just trying to make a roster or trying to showcase their skills. But here, it's like everybody knows this is their last chance. So I'm going to go harder than I ever have because this is my only chance to make where I want to be, my dream that I've been dreaming all my life.
Rashad, congrats on the great debut this weekend, man. Appreciate the time today, buddy. Good luck to you. Keep it up.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Brock.
Rashad Ross is back on a football field and torching DBs, and I'll be pulling for him. I mean, that's going to be my squad, I think, that Arizona team, just because you got a couple former Redskins, including Ross, playing very well. We're Grant and Danny. Las Vegas must know something we don't. As Chris Russell would say, the boys in Vegas.
The boys in Vegas. They're just getting together.
Vegas seems to think Nick Foles to the Redskins is an actual possibility. Got to figure out why or how that is. Next on Grant and Danny. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that conversation with him. I think that's one thing that will really work for this league is it's hard not to, in some way, hear that conversation and then pull for that guy. He basically said, this is my last shot. You know, this is me trying to get back into the NFL. And when you're playing with that desperation, and you're pretty good, by the way, from a skill standpoint.
Yeah, that's right.
He's always physically had the ability. I remember he had some issues with, you know, whether it was, you know, the getting the playbook down early in a season or what have you, where the route was supposed to be one way and he cut it off another, and that was one of the frustrations. But from a physical standpoint, he's always been able to get open and catch passes.
The thing that he said that I thought was very astute is if you're drafted or if you're a name, you get endless chances. 100% right. If you're an undrafted type dude, as he was, everything's got to be perfect, and even still you might get bounced for a guy that the organization has already invested in. That's quite literally the plot of Bull Durham, is that. You know what I mean? That's what happens in leagues so often, is there may be a better player, but yeah, right now maybe the upside of the guy that we drafted, we've already invested in, et cetera. It's hard for guys like that to crack it. That's what makes those stories so remarkable. You've got to be perfect, and he wasn't perfect when he was with the Redskins. He would flash in preseason, obviously, but that time when it's your turn to get that rep,
right,
in on Wednesday of a practice. Okay, you're the X, and his splits aren't exactly right. Good night. You're written off already. Fair or unfair, that's the break.
But good luck to him. And if he strings together a handful of games like the one he had this weekend, he'll be in an NFL camp, and he's going to get a shot. And there's going to be a little bit more juice to that. This is why I think the alliance could work for some of these players. You are the guy on Hard Knocks that everyone's chanting for at practice
now. Right.
Because they just watched you on TV nationally getting two shares, and they saw you, and they're pulling for you, and you go into camp not as nobody, but as Devin Cajuste rubbing your rocks and trying to figure out how you're going to make an NFL roster.
This stone right here does nothing. This stone over here also does nothing. And these stones that I also have on this shelf, they do nothing also. Just keep that in mind.
But if I rub them enough, I won't make the Bengals.
Ah, yes.
It wasn't the Bengals. Who was it?
Browns.
The Browns.
Grant Brownson.
That's true. I should have remembered
How
that.
Dare you?
You know what it was? It was Hugh Jackson. Confused you.
It might have been. It's also that the Bengals, I feel like, were on Hard Knocks like 16 times over the course of 20 years.
They've been
on
there a couple times, right?
A lot of Marvin Lewis on Hard Knocks. How's Marvin Lewis in the booth now and not on the sideline? I never thought we'd see the day. But there he was this weekend calling the Alliance of American Football. Speaking of great stories, Ross trying to author one, Nick Foles already has, from a backup to a Super Bowl champion. If you are tracking at all the most likely destinations for Nick Foles via any of the odds makers, they don't look anything like they should. I have no idea why, but these odds makers are not listing the Jaguars as the most likely team for Foles. In fact, they list the Dolphins number one and the Redskins number two. And this is Bovada through Odds Shark, the Twitter account that put out the odds. This was last week, and they haven't really updated them. I saw as recently as going into the weekend, the Redskins, the number two most likely team to trade for Nick Foles. So just to get everyone up to speed, here's how this is going so far this offseason. The Eagles placed a $20 million option that they picked up on Foles for this coming season. 1 year, $20 million contract. Foles, smart agent, had a get-out-of-jail-free card where he pays the Eagles $2 million and he can decline their option, which is abnormal. But he had that because his agent knew there was a real good chance if he played again, maybe he could leave and go get a starting job for a lot of money elsewhere. So now this do-si-do continues where he's out of the option, he's a free agent again, which gives the ball back to the Eagles to make one more possible decision where they can place a franchise tag on Nick Foles for $25 million. What that would mean, because the expectation is that they're going to do that, and everyone assumes that they will, and I think they're going to, they place the $25 million-ish tag on him. We don't know exactly what it's going to be because it's the average sum of the top five paid quarterbacks at the moment that they put the tag on him.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it's $25 million. They put that tag on him, and then they trade him and his 1 year and $25 million value to another team that inherits 1 year and $25 million. The reason why the Redskins shouldn't be listed as the second most likely team to get him is that they don't have $25 million to invest in a quarterback. If they brought in Nick Foles on the franchise tag and they traded for him, they would be paying almost $50 million in cap space to quarterbacks.
What do I not understand?
$21 million to Smith, $3 million to McCoy, $25 million to Foles. That wouldn't work. That's a great question. And maybe that's the question we should pose on the phones. What aren't we getting? What are we missing? What do the odds makers know that we don't?
Two factors here. Factor one, I don't see how the Redskins afford it, would want to take it on, etc. Right? Factor two, why in the world would Philadelphia do this? Now, unless the ransom that they get from the Redskins is better than what they get from Jacksonville or anybody else that they want to trade with. But in the division, you've got to pay an extra tax even. You would think, right? If they think Foles is any good. Now, when they foisted Donovan McNabb on us, right, that was a, ha-ha, we got you, we tricked you. But in this case, presumably, they know Foles is pretty decent. I don't know why they would do that in the division, and then the Redskins couldn't afford it.
So the only thing I can think is that this isn't most likely trade scenario. This is where he's going to play next season. Maybe Vegas operating... Okay. Opposite what all of the tea leaves are saying, if you read any of them. Everybody's thinking tag and trade, tag and trade. Maybe they're saying the Eagles just let him leave and sign as a free agent somewhere. And they take the third round pick compensation or whatever they would get back rather than the tag and trade, which would be potentially for either a similar round pick or a hair better. That's the only thing I can think. That they're saying they're not going to tag him, they're not going to trade him, they're just going to let him leave via free agency. Even still, it wouldn't make any sense that he would sign with the Redskins. First, because they're not going to sign him for what it would take with the money that they've invested in the position already that they can't use anyway because Smith's not able to play. But I actually think it's more likely. This is the Chris Russell answer, I think.
Ooh, here we go.
This could be a situation where Vegas doesn't actually know anything that you and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
They're not hiding anything from anybody. They're just trying to get as much cash as possible. And they know that if they put the Redskins higher on this board, that someone's going to walk in and just go, oh, the Redskins, Alex Smith got hurt. Here's $10 on Nick Foles.
So the bet is, hey, these guys are idiots. They do idiotic things. Wouldn't you bet on the idiots to do something stupid? Yeah, that makes sense.
Just getting people to agree to something doesn't have to be smart. They just have to see someone else do it. And if you're at a sports book in Vegas, let's say,
mm-hmm.
with 10 of your buddies on a summer trip, and you see most likely spots for Nick Foles, and you know that Alex Smith just broke his leg and the Redskins need a quarterback and they traded for a veteran last year and they're not big into the drafting a QB.
Throw your 10 bucks down.
Why not? I mean, their whole game, their whole goal in Vegas is to get as much money as possible, not necessarily to be right. So I really don't think they know something we don't, if that's what we're asking. I think they just think this is a way to cash out a little bit. That, and maybe they're not expecting the tag and trade, which would almost completely prohibit any possibility of him coming to Washington in the division. 800-636-1067. Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open. Are we missing something? Why are people acting like Foles to Washington could actually happen? Does any part of you think that's remotely possible? We're Grant and Dan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In 30 minutes at noon, we'll talk Redskins with Craig Hoffman, Capitals with Chris Russell, Wizards with Ben Standig, all in one segment. Jam it into just a few minutes and call it our Beltway Blitz. We're taking your calls at 800- 800-636-1067 on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines. That's 800-636-1067. The odds makers seem to think the Redskins are going to be a player for Nick Foles, and we're trying to figure out why or how that is. Could it be as simple as the fact that they know that the Redskins don't want to go the rookie quarterback route because they proved that last year? And forget for a second that the money makes it nearly impossible to go get Foles. But could they just be saying, okay, what teams refuse to be 5-11 with a kid quarterback? There's a pile of those clubs. Washington's one of them. So is Miami, perhaps. And so they say, all right, well, those are going to be your teams looking for rentals.
If you don't do any further analysis, right, if you take one step out of the shallow end and get in any kind of what's going on with these individual teams, you would go, oh, there's no way for the Redskins. But if you just kind of go quarterback hole, plan went awry, the plane crashed into the mountain because Alex Smith is Dunsky, this makes sense because they think they're pretty good. Now, a team beset by injuries and you've got this core – they're starting to get older, but they really believe that they're ready to compete, and they were 6-4 with Alex Smith, or you know, with mostly Alex Smith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Then I guess it makes sense on the surface that you'd want to trade for someone that's established or trade for someone that's fine or acquire someone that's fine somehow, some way. But again, any secondary level of analysis, anything beyond the initial, there's a gap there, we'll fill the gap. Anything beyond that is, oh yeah, there's no way this would happen. Right? Right?
I would think so. Guylo Ren on Twitter said, the Redskins have been suckered into trading assets for Mech quarterbacks two times. I think he's talking McNabb and Smith. Says twice in less than a decade it's happened. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I bet it's a good wager they'd get suckered again. I understand the logic that they have done this now two times and they could do it a third time. It's just that the math this time doesn't allow them to. So if not for Smith being on the books for $20 million, let's say Smith had signed a one-year contract, you had a get-out-of-jail-free card, or you could exercise his option for next year. They get out of jail free on Smith. Of course I could see them trading for Nick Foles and paying him $20 or $25
million. Yeah, let's run the band back, right? Let's get this group that was this close.
By the way, if Smith didn't exist and there was no money invested in him this coming season, I actually think they would do that. I think they'd be the most likely team to bring in Nick Foles. I really believe that. You could put them with Jacksonville and say it's neck and neck, but I think they'd be more desperate, more willing. Jacksonville, after re-upping with Blake Bortles, seems to be willing to spend a little bit less at the position than Washington. They've been in that 25 to 28 range with Kirk Cousins. They would be right back in that bucket within the next couple seasons with Foles. But they're not there. You're talking about a hypothetical that doesn't exist.
Mm.
And I think a lot of times we do try to figure out with Vegas, well, there's got to be a reason they think this. No, it's oftentimes them sitting around going, what fan bases might slap the most money down? I don't think there's a lot more to it than that. One other thing to note here. The Eagles are not going to trade Nick Foles in the NFC East. So if the Redskins, back to our hypothetical, didn't have any money invested in Smith and had $50 million to spend this offseason.
Yeah, they're not going to do us any favors here.
Why would the Eagles trade Nick Foles to the Redskins to play him twice a year, knowing what they do in their operation, to have to deal with him in the East? They're not doing that. They don't want to do that. They've stated that. The goal is to get him as far away from the NFC East as possible, which is why they're hoping to facilitate some type of swap with Jacksonville. Like any trade, maybe if the Redskins knocked your socks off and gave you a two when everyone else has given you fours, perhaps you swallow a big pill there and you decide that you're going to trade him in the division. They don't want to do that, which is why I keep coming back to the fact that I'll bet you there's some thought with the making of these odds that it's not a tag and trade, and rather it's just him walking and
just he gets out somehow.
Because nobody's considering that as a possibility. Nobody.
I keep trying to figure out the path that would lead to this, right? Because that was my first point, is there's no way Philadelphia is enticed to do this. And the Redskins would have to have such an absurd offer to make it, okay, we can't ignore this anymore. You know what I mean? This number of first-rounders or this prospect and this combination of things, it's so much better than what Jacksonville would offer or name that team, right?
I don't see any answer other than the Jaguars. I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that Foles is a Jag this year. I think it's a perfect fit. Jacksonville immediately contends again. Now, I don't put them back in the AFC Championship game. Their defense took a major step back last year.
Everything about them took a step back.
I also think less of Doug Marrone than I did a year ago, which is going to happen when you end up picking the top five or wherever they are in the draft. But I didn't love Doug Marrone the year before that. I thought it was fairly stunning that he had a team on the brink of a Super Bowl appearance. I've never really thought that was a championship caliber coach and, you know, leader of a program that I would want to pay $7 million a year to. But maybe I'm off on him. But I think Foles goes in there. They go 9-7, maybe even 10-6, and they make the playoffs, and they're at least back in the competition for an AFC championship game. Other than the Jaguars, though, other teams that I could see him playing for, I think the Broncos. They're plus 400. They have the fourth highest odds behind Miami, Washington, and Jacksonville, according to Oddshark. Why not Denver? Denver has swung and missed at quarterback multiple times. They signed Case Keenum for 2 and 36. I'd have to look into the details on the dead money on Case Keenum's $18 million this year. But couldn't you see them eating some money against their cap, getting out of Case Keenum, bringing in Nick Foles, and you tell me that team with a new head coach now and Vic Fangio coaching up their defense pretty quickly couldn't turn around and get them competing.
And that defense is still really good. They're not thought of that way, but I think that's one of those cases where the offense boned them the last couple of years. They've still got pieces and players and ended up kind of wearing down over these last couple of seasons, right?
A lot of dead money on Case Keenum if they cut him.
Is it bad?
$10 million in dead cap.
Yikes.
That's a lot. But you'd save $11 million in cap space because he's due, believe it or not. After last year, a cap hit of $15 million. Mm-hmm. This year, it's $21 million.
Oh, yuck. God,
what a
that's
figure.
Bad. But that, how many times in a row are they going to do that? That the, we think we're good enough, we're so smart at quarterback, we're going to go get the veteran that nobody else wants.
You're talking about the Redskins?
Well, talking Denver.
No, but, I know what you're doing.
But Denver's got the 10th pick in the draft.
Not every team. A lot of teams do that, though.
No, they do.
Because they think that position's that important.
Well, here's where you do it. You do it if you think, we don't have time to wait for a kid to figure it out. Right? The league is zigging, meaning we want a quarterback on a rookie salary scale who can just do enough for us, Russell Wilson's first couple years, or Roethlisberger's early years, or you know Carson Wentz, et cetera, in Philadelphia, who was actually more than just a guy. But we think we can do it because our team is so good. The other side is our defense is excellent. Our skill guys at the time, like Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders and a couple of running backs we've invested in, this offensive line is fine. We just need somebody to caretake because the rest of us are so good. And because Denver's gone down that road for really the last five seasons,
right,
they have underachieved dramatically in the aftermath of Peyton Manning.
You make a great point about their draft position, by the way. They're picking back end of top 10.
Yeah, 10th.
That's prime real estate, especially with what you've invested in Keenum. You've got a first-year head coach. You know what? Everything points to this. You've got a head coach for a year in his first season that's got a get-out-of-jail-free card to not be very good.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you draft a quarterback? You can let that guy sit for half a season behind Keenum. And then at the end of the year, he takes over if you're headed toward 8-8. Let's say it's Drew Lock.
Yeah.
Just probably, picking a name.
You think what? The third guy taken, right? Third quarterback there at 10?
I mean, they could even move up two picks if they love Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just sold on Daniel Jones. Move up two picks and get him. Or if you want to go up four picks and get Dwayne Haskins, whatever it is, you draft your quarterback. Unless it's Haskins, that guy didn't have to play right away. If it's Jones or if it's Lock or certainly if it's Kyler Murray, you could wait 7-8 games, ride out the final season, with half of that year starting with Keenum, and then you've got your quarterback of the future based on being in the top 10. We got some people on the phones who actually think that Foles could come to Washington. I'll be curious to hear why they think that next. We'll also get to our double play at 11:45. What's going on in our lives that has nothing to do with sports? We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Before we get to our double play on G&D here on 106.7 The Fan, and that is coming your way in just a couple of moments. We'll squeeze in a phone call at 800-636-1067, put a little bow on our Nick Foles discussion. There are about 800 reasons why him coming to the Redskins wouldn't happen, but for some reason, the odds, according to Bovada and Oddshark, some places, say that the Redskins have the second best chance to get him, and we're trying to figure out how that would be. Mo in Largo, you're on G&D.
Mo.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I don't think that it would happen, but for the sake of the conversation, I'll entertain the notion. I think you guys are right with regards to Vegas. I mean, you can't really put too many other teams up there higher than the Skins to make people spend their money, because over the last, I'd say, 10 years, we've traded on three separate occasions more than what the estimated value of the quarterback was that we attained, meaning RG3, Alex Smith, and Donovan McNabb. So from that sense, yes, I can understand why Vegas would put it up there. But if we're just going to entertain a notion, I'd say possibly maybe if we trade Norman to Philly, because I think he's a pretty decent hit against the cap this year. I know they need help in their secondary, so maybe that would possibly be a situation where it could actually happen. But in reality, no, I don't think it'll happen. But I'm just, throwing something out there for the sake of the conversation.
No, that makes sense. Because it would have to take something that we're not seeing for this to go down, right? There'd be some machination. There's some way to do it. I mean, who knows who the player is, right? I mean, you look at some of the cap hits for the Redskins. I can't imagine that Philly would be that excited to take on Norman's deal. They might want to sign Norman if he became a free agent. But do you want him at whatever it is, $16 million next year? I don't think so, right?
I would do whatever I had to do to get Nick Foles if I'm the Redskins. If I could. I can't, so I'm not investing.
I can't even bother
a second thinking about it. I can't. I don't have the money. If somehow Alex Smith's money's off my books, let's have this conversation. Otherwise, everyone leave my office.
Right.
And let's figure out other ways to make our team better.
Because everyone's having a conversation like, man, what can we do? And it's like, I want to not talk about this. I want to talk about where we are. I don't want to talk about where I want to be. Where I want to be is out from under the Alex Smith deal. Right. But I'm not. I'm here.
Let's hop to it. The double play. Each day at this time, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. I got two for you. They are different, so I'll make them very quick. The first, had a really fun time last night at the Show Love Fest in Gaithersburg at the Gaithersburg Arts Barn. What
Love
an amazing
place.
Young individual. If you're not familiar with this kid named Austin Pirine, check him out on social media. He goes by @PresidentPirine. He is a 5-year-old from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm sure you've seen him on TV. You may not remember, but he runs around in a little cape and a superhero outfit, and he feeds the homeless. And he started doing it in Birmingham, and he goes around and he gives them food based on his allowance is how this started. And he would say, don't forget to show love, and give him a hug. And from this, he's been on TV shows like Steve Harvey and Ellen. He's been all over the country touring different states where he goes and he shows love, as he calls it. He gives food to the homeless and he gives out hugs and he basically just motivates people. We had this event last night where dozens of folks showed up to listen to he and his father and people from Gaithersburg speak about the homeless community in Montgomery County. But long story short, he's just an inspiration. He's awesome. I love that little kid. Meeting him was amazing, and his dad is just so impressive.
Just wonderful people, it sounds like.
The fact that people like this still exist, it gives you hope for humanity.
Doesn't it?
And I don't think I'm overstating that. Like, so many things are depressing and awful that you see, but then you have a night like that where this little kid, I asked him during this, I was emceeing last night and doing an interview with him in front of the crowd, and I said, so why do you do this? Like, what do you like about it? And he goes, it's the right thing to do.
Mm.
And it's just this comment from a 5-year-old.
Yeah, this 5-year-old with the moral compass of, like, one of the great leaders in the history of the world.
Because it's
like,
the
what?
Right thing to do. And I had nothing for that. And I just kind of nodded, and I looked at the crowd, and I was like, and everyone was just, like, in awe, about to cry. It was just so great.
That's amazing.
But it's just like, I wouldn't have thought to say it. You're right. You're right, Austin, 5-year-old P. Ryan.
Again, I think I'm doing an okay job with my 5-year-old. That would never have happened.
Yeah, exactly.
My little boy,
Bill Rowland,
is
why?
Interviewed on stage by Grant Paulson. Like, why do you do this? And he probably just burst into tears because he's so shy and afraid. This kid's like, it's the right thing to do. Get off your duffs. Amazing. Amazing.
It was really cool. It's time for your double play.
Couple cool things this weekend. One, appreciate everybody at the International Motorcycle Show for having your boy. Always fun. I've done this for the last several years. It is a really cool event. It's at the convention center. And you end up meeting like a bunch of different listeners that you wouldn't normally think, right? Guys who you typically think of, the folks who listen to the radio in their cars or in their trucks or doing deliveries. They're in, they're doing different stuff or at their cubicle. A lot of people that are riding motorcycles are listening to us, which is really neat. So I met a bunch of listeners there. That was a lot of fun.
How is that a thing?
I don't know. Earbuds? I don't know how it works.
I'm so ignorant on this. I know that you can listen to the radio while you drive, but I'd imagine talk radio while the motor's going and you're rolling along.
I was amazed by that. Amazed by that. I pretend that I was like, oh, I totally get that. I have no idea how that works. And I realized, it was funny. I was talking to a couple of guys from the street team about this, and I realized, I don't even know how this works. Right now, I'm speaking. Goes into a microphone, which is connected to an arm. Of course, somehow that gets beamed somewhere. You know what I'm talking about? Like
I don't know the actual. Not,
how does anyone know how anything works?
That's what John Tremor and our guy Tom Shedlick are for.
I mean, we're in great hands. But here's the story. Here's the story. Okay, this is why I bring it up. There was a caper. Your boy was involved in a caper. What was going on at the D.C.?
Are you talking about the thing that you would put on top of lox and a bagel?
No.
Yeah, this is like
the delicious salty treat that goes on cream cheese and lox and a bagel? No.
The plant?
This is a mystery. This was an incident. This was a thing, and I had so much fun.
So it wasn't an edible flower bud?
Never. Mm. Here's what it was. At the International Motorcycle Show in D.C., okay, I guess the guys that run this, I don't know if it was more last minute. I don't know what happened with planning. I know this. There was a rival here, a rival motorcycle show in Timonium near Horn. Timonium Fairground. Go on out, see everybody down there, get your computer repaired. Yeah. In Timonium. What was happening were there were two people from the Timonium motorcycle show that were in the D.C. motorcycle show handing out flyers for the Timonium motorcycle show, right? Trying to get people to come to that the following day. Trying to get people to get vendors to commit and all these other kind of things. And so the organizer, our contact, this dude Jeff, great dude, has had me out a couple different times to this event, is like hunting the building for these people. Security's on there, like their walkie-talkies, trying to get a description, trying to figure out who's doing it. These rogue agents from the Timonium motorcycle show. And sure enough, about an hour in, it's a woman and some assistant comes up to our booth, who doesn't know, you know, her butt from her elbow, doesn't know that we're a radio station. We're not some vendor that,
of course not.
That you, I don't provide like rims or some cool like accoutrement for the motorcycles. And she hands us a flyer and starts giving her pitch for the Timonium fairground thing. And so I'm talking to her, trying to keep her in the spot. We've been told to look out. We don't have a description of the perp, right? But now I'm elbowing the street team guy, this kid Ryan, who's 19, and I'm going, hey, Ryan, that's awesome. That sounds amazing. Ryan texts Jeff. Hey, that's so cool. That's so fun. Oh, so what else is that, Ryan texts Jeff? And he, like, hits him up with a description in real time as I'm sitting there trying to keep this lady at the booth to stall her. So she leaves, but now we've got a description of the perp. Right, so I'm now participating in a sting, and I've got the description for Jeff, who's got it now for all the security folks. 5 minutes later, apprehended.
Thanks to you.
Thanks to me.
So you cracked the case.
So you've got President P. Ryan doing good in the world.
Yeah.
That's what I did good in the world. I caught a perp, Thommy.
Two superheroes.
That's right.
Danny's
going to wear a cape.
That's right.
As a superhero as well.
I'm saving the planet from asteroids, and I'm saving the International Motorcycle Show from rogue agents from the Timonium Motorcycle Show. Get out of here, Timonium lady.
I would have played it a little differently. I would have just taken a talent fee from the Timonium Motorcycle Show and booked myself for the next day. That's what you should have done. You could have doubled your money.
Would have been a good move.
Gonna double dip.
Happy birthday, Jennifer Aniston. She is 50 today.
Is she really?
Officially the hottest 50-plus year old on the planet, which is an accomplishment. Don't everyone yell at me and tell me I'm a jerk, please. I understand. It's 2019. It is okay to find people attractive, I believe, still. That is a thing that we're allowed to do. And if there's a category of other lovely women, what is the threshold, though, for like the category where you say, oh my God, you still look amazing? Because Kate Beckinsale at 45 is still killing the game, too.
She is amazingly attractive.
She's gorgeous, but is 45 too young for the category for our girl Jennifer Aniston being 50 to say you still got it? 45 is the new 35, as they say.
Kate Beckinsale was holding hands with Pete Davidson at some point.
Stop.
Recently. That was the thing. He was leaving a comedy club after doing his weird hipster material for an hour.
Maybe
probably.
They're friends.
Holding hands? Hands together.
That
held.
Will make me so mad. She's off all of my lists if she's holding hands and canoodling with that guy.
Well, you'll find out next week when he proposes and then they break up a month later.
Good
so.
Point. Oh, I hope you're wrong about that.
No, it's a thing. Aren't I right about that, Tommy? Isn't that a thing? Him and Kate Beckinsale?
I don't know. I try to keep Pete Davidson out of my brain.
I'm going to Google that. It'll be the first time and probably the last time for a while that I Google anything involving Pete Davidson. Was not funny, but that's a shame if that's true.
I agree with that.
That's tough.
I don't like it when that happens. Even though I'm never getting with Kate Beckinsale. No, everybody knows that.
Good things for her.
I don't like it. I don't like it. I need something else. End up with George Clooney or something like that.
That would be fine.
Okay, that's fine.
Don Cheadle. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Next, your Beltway Blitz on the Wizards, Caps, and Skins all in one segment.
Unexpected things. Like, I didn't expect Grant to say Don Cheadle just now. You don't expect wonderful, incredible, mind-boggling deals like these in February, but that's what's going on at Tedbert Ford. How about a 2018 EcoSport? Just $179 a month. $179 per month. Or 0% APR for 60 months when you make a purchase. Get a little love at first drive all month long at Tedbert Ford in Fairfax. And Chantilla, drive a new 2019 Ford Escape, just $239 a month. Or an Explorer, as low as $349 a month. How about up to $6,000 off the MSRP on a new 2018 Ford Mustang GT? Yeah. New 2018 F-150? How about Tedbert's giving you up to $13,500 off the MSRP, or take advantage of 0% APR for 60 months. Here is your Stone Cold Steve Austin style bottom line. Incredible cars, great deals, and the best buying in the town. I should know. It's two different times. That's recorded. You got to go see him and tell him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.